regarding the seals. The last time I spoke was I spoke about the white horse, which speaks of deception. You can read that in Matthew 24. You can read that in Mark 13. You can read that in Luke about the white horse. And the first thing Jesus says to his disciples was, do not be what? Do not be deceived, for many shall come in my name. Amen. Many shall come in his name and even do signs and wonders. Many shall come in his name and even do miracles. But they're not him. Don't be deceived. I'm going to swap because I like walking. The red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse, four horses, of the apocalypse, which really are signs of judgment of the Lord. The devil didn't send the horses. Amen? So God allows these things to happen because he sees whatever's happening upon the earth and something has to change. Whether you like it or not, it's probably one of his greatest acts of love to bring a chastisement to a people and to bring an awakening to those whom he loves. So we're going to quickly go through this and we'll roll over this for a few weeks because it's not just the seven seals, there's the seven bowls, seven trumpets and the seven bowls. And then we'll get into when all this is going to happen. There'll be probably people that don't agree with me. That is okay. That is fine. All I can do is give you what I feel God's given me. Eat the meat, spit out the bones. All right? But I want to read from chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Revelation 6, 1 to 8. Revelation 6, 1 to 8. Who enjoys Revelations? A revelation, the revelation of John. Where's my glasses, love? That's a revelation all by itself. It says, now when I saw the Lamb, I'll put my glasses on before I give the Welsh version instead of the King James version. When I saw the Lamb open one of the seals and I heard one of the four voices of living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. Who wants to come and see? Who would like to come and see? Hallelujah. And I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, verse 3, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery and red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. And you can read that in Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 24, where one of the first things he says is, after the deception, that there'll be wars and rumors of wars. So there's going to be wars, rumors of wars. I'm going to take peace from the earth, and the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. So there's going to be fights, there's going to be battles, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. I really believe that's a twofold thing. I believe it's also a physical thing and a spiritual thing. I think you're going to find kingdoms will fight against kingdoms in the spirit realm. Nations will fight against nations, people groups against people groups will fight. Amen. Then he says this, in Matthew 24 and 6, and you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So I don't want to burst people's bubble, but I need to say this is a fact. You are not whisked away at that time. You will go through things, right? Because the time is not yet. Mark 11, 13 and 7 says this, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. I mean, it would be easy to say, yes, Jesus, take me now and it's all done, but it's not going to happen. Luke 21, verse 9 to 10 says, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. Why would the Lord say that? Do not be terrified. Because fear can rule and dominate our hearts. We can't allow fear to rule and dominate our hearts. We must be anchored in Christ and the hope of his glory, the hope of his coming. Amen? For the things must not come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The Bible says that we fight not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. There will be a warfare, not just on the earth, but there will be a warfare in the heavens. And the warfare in the heavens is for your soul. He will want to deceive you. The enemy of our soul will want to deceive me, so I give away or give up on the purpose and the promises of God. And I'm not talking about the purposes and promises of God that is a house, that is a car, that is stuff. All right? They're the benefits of God. They're not the promises of God. They're the benefits of God. The promises of God is that you will be kept and you'll be kept for him. And when he returns, he's going to return back to you and bring us back into a place of glory and bring us in a place of victory in Christ. And that I will inherit a new heaven and a new earth with him, where old things have passed away. There's no more sickness. There's no more disease. There's no more anything. We're in a place of absolute perfection. That's the hope that we keep looking forward to. That's what anchors your soul and my soul, because if you don't know what your hope is not a new car. Your hope is not a new house. Your hope is not you're going to have enough money to survive today. Your hope is Christ is returning and he's going to come back in all power, victory, and strength, and he's going to gather his people to live together as one in holiness and in perfect unity. That's your hope. Amen? That's what's got to anchor my soul in this hour like never before. And that's the problem is why so many fall away, and it's not just because of the pressures of society and the pressures of the world, it's because they really don't know what they're hoping for. So when the froth and the bubble's gone, there's no hope left in them, and hope deferred makes their heart. And with that hope, I can't walk in faith, believing God. Not for stuff. I'm going to reiterate this. It's not about stuff. It's about him. He is my hope. He is my calling. He is my everything. Everything I have resides in him. Everything I need resides in him. He is the answer to my everything. He is the blessed I am. Amen. In fact, you know, in the book of Romans, it says the whole earth groans waiting for the manifestation. And it says the whole earth bears witness of the glory and the goodness of our God. I'll share something I heard this week, which is actually profound. We'll get back to this in a minute. His name, Yahweh. The A and the E are nouns that were added by us. It never was that name. It's YHWH. But them words in the Hebrew mean breath in, breath out. Air, pneumia, spirit. Every time every human being breathes in and breathes out, they're confessing his name. That's why the whole earth will declare his glory. Whether they believe in him or not, every time a human being breathes in, breathes out, they're declaring his name. That blew me away. So whether they hate him, whether they call themselves an agnostic, whether they call themselves I don't know what else they call themselves. So many names today. The ABCs, the XYZs, the LBGTQ++X. Do you know in Canada they've ran out of letters? No, I'm serious. They've ran out of letters, so they're repeating the alphabet again. So there's 28 letters now. But praise the Lord, my God's not an author of confusion. At least they'll learn their alphabet. Amen. So the third seal, the black horse, speaks of famine. So the Lord tells us that there'll be famine, there'll be pestilences, there'll be stuff happening. You and I will be part of that. Amen. That's why it's imperative you and I get into community. We are going through transition in this state right now. That's already happened in Victoria, and it is going to happen here, where they're going to start making Christian schools. I'll go away from the camera a minute. Christian schools to employ people of alternative living. So the LBGTQY plus, XYZ plus, they cannot be discriminated against for a job. Or if you're homosexual, you cannot be discriminated against for a job. And what it is, it's a ploy of the enemy to break down the last Sebastians of Christian faith that we're trying to bring into our children's lives. And what they want to do is negate this thing so young Christian children get away from this terminology Christian. Because once that's allowed, they will not be able to pray. They will not be able to gather together to pray, the teachers. Because if you offend them, they will take you to an equal opportunity place to stop it. So they're going to, all of a sudden, these Christian schools will no longer be able to be called Christian. They're trying to demolish the Christ-likeness and the Christian faith in our society slowly by gradualism and try to get a hold of our children to influence society. Parents, more than ever before, it is my and your responsibility to train your children up in the ways of the Lord. You can't rely on a school. You can't rely on a system. You can't rely on the name Christian. You have to be that one that shows the example in this world to them like never before. And it's not going to stop. We're going to see things increase in the hour we're living in. We don't know how long we can meet. That's why it's imperative for us to be in community. We must be living in community. The church people need, we thrive, we've been built for community. And you can't rely on this form of community to be forever. I really believe, and I know I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I really believe the old wineskin is getting pulled away. It's going to have to come different eventually. But we've got to be ready for that difference. You need to be around community people of similar mindsets that in the midst of your battle, they can lift up your hands. They can pray for you. They can intercede on your behalf. They can love on you when you need that love. You need to get into a group. You need that community experience and not wait for the event to happen. That's foolishness. We need to be prepared like never before. Can I hear at least one amen? Amen. So when he opened the third seal, I heard the living creature say, "Come and see. Help us see, Jesus." So I looked and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius," which is a day's pay. 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine. There's going to be famine. And The world's experiencing famine like it's never experienced before. Europe is experiencing drought that has never been like that for 500 years. America's experiencing floods that they've never seen for centuries. And Australia's in a drought. There is going to be famine. Just go to the shops and try and buy things. How much are things costing? They'll tell you it's inflation. But the farmer's not getting an extra 10 or 15%. He's not getting the 15 or 20% that the other shops are charging. It's the greed of man. For when some businesses like Coles or Woolies are raking in $1.5 billion in profits, I'm not saying against anyone that's getting profit, but $1.5 billion in profit, when it's inflation happening and people are suffering and people are in need, I think it's criminal. I think it's absolutely criminal. When you go to the shops, you pick up some green beans and they're $20 a kilo. When you go to the shops and you pick up a cauliflower that you could get for $2 and that's $5.90. Someone's making something. And it's the greed of man. Revelation 6 and 7 says this: when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death. It's the only horse that has a name. It's the only person that has a name on the horse. The other three did not have names. He's the only one that had a name. His name is Death, and who accompanied him was a thing called Hades. And Hades, he is the only rider who has the name of Death, and Hades followed with him. And the power was given to what? So it was him on the horse, but the power was given to who? To them. To them. Death and Hades. And over a fourth of the earth, given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. I just want to go into a little bit of this. So we're going to see a decrease in our population. Around about a quarter of the earth. Are we all right with this? No, people don't like talking about this sort of stuff, but this is real. This is not a fairy tale. This is not some saying and it's not going to go away. We have to be ready. We have to know, right? Knowledge is power. 25% is going to die by the sword, hunger, killed with death. I looked that up. It literally means pestilence, disease, plagues, and natural disasters. Things are going to happen and escalate upon the earth quickly. Now you've got monkeypox. And people take it away slightly and say, "Oh, monkeypox." If you knew the origin of monkeypox, it's abhorrent. It's disgusting. It should never have happened. It should never have come to humanity. Bestiality with men and women, with an animal. Beasts of the earth, 25% in the spiritual sense, about death, about beasts. It can be our tongue. Do you know the Bible refers to people that gossip, backbite, and pull down someone as beasts? Carnal-minded, beast nature. You take the Christ out of me and all I am is a beast. You take the Christ wisdom and the Christ mindedness out of me, all you will see is a smile but a beast. Because all the beast wants to do is look after oneself, self-preservation, self-glorification. All it wants is self-promotion. It's all about me at anyone's expense. That's what the beast does. The beast nature does. Spiritual sense, our tongues are speaking contrary to life. Life and death are in the power of the what? So your tongue can speak life, or your tongue can speak death. And you get the fruit of it, yeah. Speaking contrary to life and our actions towards others, contrary to the nature of God. If you are born again here this morning, you have the nature of God residing within you. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to pray for it. He resides within you. The nature of God is in you. Amen? I have to choose to walk in it, or I can choose to reject it. The minute I choose to reject it, I'm back into what the Bible calls the carnal mind. Now, if you look up what it literally is saying is, it's a beast mentality. It's a self-surviving, self-promoting attitude. And that is what is happening in the world today when people will want happiness, or people will want what they perceive as happiness, at your expense. Where you have a facet of the medical profession saying things like this to people: you deserve to be happy at whatever other person's expense. But happiness, they don't tell them this, happiness is momentary. Happiness, you can be happy and sad many times in a day. Happiness is usually based on an event. God doesn't talk about your happiness. He talks about something else greater than happiness, joy. Which joy anchors your soul. Which joy strengthens you regardless of the circumstance. Which joy secures you regardless of the event. Which joy can make you endure a cross. Joy can make you endure the cross with joy to a death, because you know the final hope of your calling. Hallelujah. But a person that's seeking happiness will need event after event after event after event to keep them happy. And if you really know Jesus, he will burst your bubble. He will burst your bubble. Until you don't rely on an event and you rely on him. I better keep going. I'm getting too excited. So the beast nature is all-consuming, self-preserving, void of compassion, mercy, and love. Turn with me to Galatians 5, verse 15. Galatians 5, 15. Are we getting anything out of this? So when he talks about the beasts of the earth, I don't think you're going to be devoured by lions. I don't think you're going to be devoured by hyenas. I don't think you're going to be devoured by tigers, especially in Australia. And I don't think God's going to make koalas, right? He's not going to make koalas meat eaters. Galatians 5:15 says this: Saints that are biting and devouring one another. Who's doing the biting and who's doing the devouring? They've become beasts of the earth, carnal-minded, carnal-thinking. Turn with me to 2 Peter 2, verse 12. 2 Peter 2, verse 12. Have I got it up there? Is that the last one? I'll read it. I'll do it. 2 Peter 2, verse 12. No. Says this. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. These people, like natural brute beasts, so don't look for a lion to try and devour you. The enemy will try and use people's words to devour you. Amen? Knock the flame out of your fire. Quench the, the, the love of God. Give up on the things of the Spirit. Because of the brute beast, that's why you've got to be so important to hang around people that speak like you. And here's another good thing, which I'm trying to learn. If you haven't got anything good to say, don't say it. Zip thy lip. All right? And pray. Pray. Amen? And if there's been an offense, pour heaps of coal upon their head by going in the opposite spirit. Jude 1, verse 10 and 11. Jude 1, verse 10 and 11. Says this. These speak evil of whatever they do not know and whatever they know naturally. Like brute beasts, these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? What did Cain do? He killed his brother. How do I kill someone? In the spirit realm, how do I? I'm not talking about, you know, how to use a knife. Words, right? 1 John. 1 John, the epistle of 1 John says this, right? He who hates his brother is a what? Is a murderer. So the minute I allow that beast mentality and nature get within me and take control of my heart and start to do the opposite and the contrary to God's nature, because God is love, and begin to hate, which is the nature of Satan, I am killing them. You are killing that relationship. You are killing the avenue of forgiveness. You are killing the avenue of mercy. You are killing it. And you're not just killing them. You are killing yourself. And it leaves a stain on you or me. Do you not know whatever they know naturally? They're like brute beasts. These things, they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. Have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. I mean, you can't get any stronger than that. So God is looking for a company of people, I believe, who are sealed in God. He says, do not harm the oil and the wine. Remember that? All these other things were happening, but don't touch the oil and the wine. He was told, the angels were told, do not touch the oil and the wine. Don't touch it. What he was saying was, don't touch the sealed of God. Don't touch them yet. They were going through a dispensation of time that they were protected, but there will come a dispensation of time that they might have to lay down their life. But in this sphere of time, he says to them, don't touch them. Amen. In the midst of the calamity that the earth is about to face, whom God orders from that period of time to spare, he never said they wouldn't experience problems, but he did say they would survive the problem in this time, in these seals. We need to be of that company that refuse to pick up offense, that refuse to hate, that refuse to allow that spirit to get her in my heart and my mind. We need to be anchored in the promises and the purpose of God and the hope of God and keep focused on the things of God, so when things are happening around me, I'm not moved. I must stay a part of the oil and the wine company of people. Amen? How do I do that? How do I stay around a people full of the oil and the wine? Community. Fellowship. Union. That is the ingredient that God is. When they were in the upper room, they were of one mind and one accord. When the Tower of Babel was built, it said nothing could be withheld from them because they spoke of the same thing. They were of one tongue. Amen. When we're of one tongue and one heart, loving and protecting one another and washing one another with the water of the word, enduring with one another, uplifting one another, thinking no evil one of another. Are these all things in the Bible? Yes. Lifting one another, esteeming them greater than yourself. Once these things are happening and that unity is there, God can release a blessing. In fact, John 17 says this, there is another level of glory that the church can come into because of unity. And I don't believe the church has ever come into that yet, except in the book of Acts. Because there's so much schism and division in the body of Christ. But when we get of that one mind and one accord, we're going to see a level of glory that God wants to release on us and through us that the world then can see the change in people. But what's happened is I've got to pay a price. There's always a condition. God always says if. He tells me all this stuff, and I'll do this and I'll do that. Then he goes with one little word, if. So people get different Bibles to see if it's the real translation because they don't want to do the if. Let's look at the NLT. Oh, it's not there. Oh, we'll read that one then. Let's do the NIV, the not intended version. I shouldn't have said that. And so what happens is we look for a reason and an excuse not to do the if. And God will always bring me back to my if. Every time. 120 people in an upper room of all different all different types of thinking, all different types of beliefs, all different types of emotions and feelings. And they sat and they waited. They waited. And all the time there wasn't much utterance, but everyone was being dealt with by the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, there was one voice. All of a sudden, there was one heart. And the Holy Ghost filled the whole house. It wasn't a physical house he filled. It was the whole house of God. Every one of them. And they walked out as if they had met God himself. Because upon their heads were cloven tongues of fire. Hallelujah. They didn't have to beg him. They didn't have to have a revival meeting for it. All they had to do was get into a place, one heart, one accord, unity and communion in the Holy Ghost. Who wants that? Then the world can behold him. Amen. Too many Christians are walking around with a fence. Too many Christians are walking around with pain and hurt. Too many Christians are not letting go of stuff and refusing to deal with and get a hold of their if. I'll do all that if you do this. Let's look at some ifs. Father, forgive me as I forgive those who have trespassed against. So the measure I forgive shall be measured back to me. There's my first if. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me my sins, of my trespasses, as I forgive those who have trespassed against me, as I have forgiven those who have trespassed against me. So when he says to me, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that's what he's doing. He Here's one of the greatest things that Christians do. They condition their love. Well, if. Now, that's not God's if. That's our if now. Well, if you do this, or you act this way towards me, then I'll love you. Did Jesus say that? Did Jesus say to you, well, if you clean yourself up, you know, wash your filthy garment, rend your heart, right? Fast for 40 days, then come before me, maybe I'll... He didn't say any of that. He accepted me for while I was yet a sinner. Is my love conditional? To some, no. I'll talk about me. To some, no. Because it's easy to love those who love you. Isn't that what the Bible says? But what reward is that? Because even the tax collectors do the same. But what about the one that's been speaking against you? What about the one that's having little snippets behind your back? Eh? What about the ones that I call peanut on the road? I'm going to call them lovely peanuts now. Well, I'm a work in progress. And so we condition. And I really believe the word of the Lord this morning when he says about the ancient wounds, I really believe those ancient wounds condition me. Because we learn from our past experience and we don't allow ourselves to be so vulnerable in that situation. So we guard our hearts. And sometimes they guard us so great that we've really not let them in. We've got them to a social experience without having a love for them. And I can say I've done that. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that because I'm a work in progress. But at least I will acknowledge it so he can change me from a glory to a glory. Because the minute I hide it, I'm denying it. And he can't work with it. Amen? The core ingredient is the power of community and communion, creating a unity amongst the brethren that causes a bond that cannot be broken. A bond that cannot be broken. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave it there this week because I've got another page and a half. Bring it on. Next week, I'll bring it on. But I want to tell you something. We as a company of people in the church of God must get in a place of community and communion with one another. Amen. I'll finish with this. To love means to take a risk. And I'm going to leave you with that. To truly love means to take a risk. Because you are open, you're opening yourself up to be vulnerable. But in the midst of loving, and you stepping out in love, you will receive such a love back. And it mightn't be from the person you think it is. But I'm going to tell you who will do it. Him. Because you're reflecting him. Amen. Is he worth the risk? Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that company. And even then, I know I'm going to go through stuff later on. And even some of us will have to give up our lives and be martyred for our faith. And that's the greatest calling anyone can have. But we'll tread them waters when we get to them. With every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. I want us to invite the Holy Ghost to search our hearts. I'm not telling you you've got to do it. But if you truly want to be in that place with Him, you must allow Him to search the house. I must have Him in every facet of my life. King David said it like this, "Oh, search me, O God. Oh, search me." Too often we want the Holy Ghost to search others.
"Well, you don't know what I've been through."
"Well, no, I don't."
"You don't understand my pain."
"No, I don't." Well, I'm going to tell you something. All things are common to man. You're nothing special. Your pain doesn't define you. Jesus defines you. If you want to say this prayer with me, you say it. "Father, search me. Uproot anything in me that is growing that is not of you. Help me to till my ground, that when your seed hits my spirit, I will bear fruit to righteousness. I want to bring glory to your name. I want to be a witness to this world. I want to love how you love. Help me to pay my price, that the world might see Christ in me, the hope of glory. So change me, Jesus. Change me according to your ways and your purpose. Help me not to measure myself against another. I thank you that you're bringing forth a company of people that will stand in this hour for truth, for righteousness, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen." And if that's you, give him a clap this morning, because he's worthy of it all. Hear me, he is worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Amen. Offenses will come. Not fences, offenses will come. They will come. Storms will hit your house. Amen. Stand. Stand. Doing all to stand? Stand. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week, successful week. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and some fellowship. That would be good. If you are not in a life group, get in a life group. You need community. Amen.